It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
What's up, NHRA fans? Welcome back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. And I told you, we do not take a break for the winter break. We keep talking to NHRA drivers and stars and personalities and people because we know that you're driving around doing your holiday stuff or maybe headed to the PRI trade show like the rest of the drag racing world and racing world in general and need a little something to listen to. So we've got some great champion interviews for you this week. We've got Andrew Hines going to talk about his heart attack that he had after red lighting and watching Gianna Salinas like cure him. She was like the paddles. Right? Like at the end, he was the champ. No harm, no foul, just like he planned it. But what was it like to go through that? You're going to hear from Andrew Hines this week on the shows. Also, you're going to hear from Megan Meyer. Megan Meyer getting ready to go to PRI as well and got some things to announce out there. We're going to speak with Megan, the first female lady racer. That's what I like to call the female racers out there. I just like saying female over and over again just to me seems scientific. I don't want to do that. I like to say lady racer because she's a lady and she's a racer, right? I'm not going to say girl racer, but you're just getting a look into my mentality right now. You don't need that. We got Megan Meyer. We have got Andrew Hines on the show this week. It's going to be awesome. Sean Bellemere next week. We're going to have Ray Miller the third. All the champs going to be on WFO. So you're going to want to subscribe. Click subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Our Ignition show was a whole lot of fun earlier this week. Amazing stuff. We've got the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt, back for this one. It is going to be the goods. Before we get into that, though, as you know, we got sponsors, but I got to tell you about something a little bit different related to one of our sponsors. We have just launched, as in just now, Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal. And we're talking about Total Seal Piston Rings. Hidden Horsepower is the name of their new podcast. It is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast for the most part. And it is going to be a deep dive into the world of engine building. And we have expert guests. For instance, my co-host is Keith Jones from Total Seal. He is the director of technical sales, been there for 22 years, is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to what's happening inside the combustion chamber and the very serious environment that piston rings need to live within. And Keith is going to be the co-host. We have two episodes up already for you to listen to. Jason Line, talking naturally aspirated from stock eliminator through pro stock. And Pat Musi, talking about nitrous oxide, massive cubic inches with fuel injection. So if you are interested in the engine building aspect of racing, which some people are, if you want to know why Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, you're definitely going to want to subscribe to Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and please write us a review. The review process is always good. The guests are great. You're going to love Musi. You're going to love Jason. A lot of fun. A lot of funny moments. Poking fun at Hartford. All of these things. Good stuff. Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal. And they, of course, are a sponsor of WFO Radio, and we greatly appreciate it, all you engine builders out there. If you're not using Total Seal, you should be. They are the leader in ring seal technology. But also great sponsors like samtech.edu, which we have a Samtech Factory Stock podcast that we do. And you might be noticing like more people realize that having a podcast associated with them is significant. It is a great way for them, Samtech, Total Seal to get their word out about their product to their audience directly. You can only say so much on Twitter. I'm sorry. Sometimes you like to hear people talk and muse about things. I am a big believer. Of course, the written word is significant, but also you want to hear people talk about and have conversations about deeper subjects. You can't always get there on Twitter and Facebook. You just can't. And with this, you can. And it's something you can listen to while you're on the go, while you're at work, while you're on the way to the track, in your earbud, while you're sitting working for the man, whatever you're doing, you can be listening. That's how I came up, working in a warehouse, listening to AM radio, and realized that it was my favorite of all the mediums, the listening, and while doing something else, multitasking, which our culture has, we all have to multitask. You can't sit there and just watch a screen all the time. I mean, some of us can't, and some of us don't want to, frankly. So check them out, various podcasts, whether it be samtech.edu, Factory Stock Podcast, which is still getting listens, people going back and listening to the full season. And what's the point of that one? To encourage folks who are interested in becoming a high-performance engine builder or machinist to do it and giving them a great starting point from which to do it. They'll be up there at PRI as well. So many of their graduates going to be up there. Go to samtech.edu to find out more information. We do not yet have a coffee podcast, though, about rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com. And I frankly think that one could be maybe the most popular because Marvin is an unbelievable character, whether it be the fact that he is a pilot, whether it be the fact that, you know, he's roasting his own coffee, winning grilling competitions in Texas, all of these things over his life. Pretty amazing. But really, for you, what you need to know about is that Marvin Rodak has got a great deal for you on gourmet exotic coffee from around the world. Hot sauces and spice rubs. Go to rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com, 817-924-6821, and check out all the great stuff they have. And it's going to be the best holiday gift that you get anybody. I'm telling you, you're being just blasted by ads on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram about this, about that, by this, by that. And it's the extra sensory experience of receiving Rodax that makes it over the top. That's the best I can tell you. And no one has ever said, like, yeah, they all love it. RodaxCoffeeandGrills.com. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. It's getting a little late in the gift-giving season now, and you're probably feeling a little bit of pressure. And sometimes when you feel pressure, you decide to go big. This would be a good one. Send someone on the Dragster Adventure, and they will get a certificate from Frank Hawley, and they can turn it in at any point and show up to anyone that they choose over the course of the season, whether it be Gainesville or California or Texas or Reading or wherever they're going. And you go to the website, find out where they're going. Your friend or loved one or client or best salesperson, they can figure it out for themselves where they want to go. But they will greatly appreciate it because it is an awesome full day experience. You get to make three runs, one half track, two full track passes, driving a dragster, 130 miles an hour. And that's not like driving a car, like a Ferrari driving experience. It's not the same. The chassis with the engine behind it makes it totally different and a lot more fun. You're not going to get acceleration like this, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds out of just about anything. So check them out, frankhawley.com. MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA. Scott Palmer has announced a 12 to 15 race schedule next year, but also if you've got a factory, if you've got a shop, if you are just at home and you're using old school clay, oil dry, not good. No bueno, not good. You need to switch up to the Magic Dry. If you got a CatKit cat spot, if you got a shop, if you got a business, if you got a factory, if you're working on an oil rig, MagicDryUS.com. They got spill kits for any size spill. It's better for the environment. It's better for you. Made of coconut. What could be better than that? And finally, Drag Racing Edge magazine and EV3 Drag Racing. Johnny D, Drag Racing Edge, they put an ad in there for us every week, and we really appreciate it. And recently, we got the bad news about so many magazines going away. And Drag Racing Edge, still going, baby. Still going because of the great stories and high-quality photography and all that. I love online stuff. I love it. We have great relationships with the online folks, of course. But I'm all for keeping magazines alive, and I think we got to fight to do it. So get yourself a subscription to Drag Racing Edge. And, of course, EV3 Drag Racing is a game. All right, time to get into it. Joining us now, he'll be up there at the PRI show. He is right in the middle of the winter break. What's going on with the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart? Let's find out. AR, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Great to be back. How's everything down in sunny Florida?
Sunny. It's nice. We shouldn't rub it in, though, right? Because now is the time of year where people are starting to get cold and a little icy. We're about to head up to Indy for PRI, but all is well in my world. The Christmas parties have started, and I'm missing drag racing a little bit, to be honest.
I'm missing it a lot. It's like, you know, 2 weeks is just too long to be away, or 3 weeks or whatever it's been now. You know, I did at least get to sneak out and do a little bench racing this past weekend. I was up in Las Vegas for the Division 7 Lucas and Summit Awards Banquet, which is always a good time for a couple of reasons. One, because, well, it's in Las Vegas. And two, because, well, it's bench racing related, and it's always fun to hang out and, you know, hear about how great people used to be and how great they should have been. And, you know, if I'd have just done this at that race, I'd have been champion instead of finishing 14th, you know, that kind of routine.
So true. And so true. That's what Drag Racer Talk is all about. Where do they do that banquet? Just wondering, because I'm it's almost assured, not 100%, but almost assured I'll be heading out to the Division II banquet. They do it on the other side of the new year. And just wondering where when in Vegas, where do they do it?
Samstown is where we've done this one for the last few years. And it's really kind of a nice thing because, Sam Boyd's properties are all very nice. And Samstown has got a great convention. Actually, it's got a what they call Samstown Live, which is a convention and event arena, basically, that can be set up to do whatever you want. So a nice stage, really good food, off the beaten path a little bit because we're not in the middle of the strip. So you don't have to deal with all the traffic and all the hassles and all the crowds that are normally down there. But always a good time. You know, Samstown is a great host, and it's just fun hanging out and talking racing with everybody for a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think that's the same place, I'm pretty sure, that they had the Pro Mod Banquet. And so I have enjoyed the food, and yes, it is very nice. It is a nice venue, nice place. And any news come out of that, just other than, you know, crowning divisional champions, and you guys probably have a Hall of Fame, and just paying tribute to everybody who invested in a season-long of divisional racing.
No, nothing really earth-shattering, just, obviously, you know, some of the junior drivers getting ready to move up, and, you know, for me, it's always interesting watching the juniors. I don't get an opportunity to see a whole lot of junior racing just simply because my schedule's so busy I can't get away to do it, but it's fun watching the kids interact, and it's also very interesting, you know, some of the friendships that are formed in the juniors that carry on through the big cars over the years. And one of the things that I always do, Division 7, I believe, is the only one that actually has a traveling junior series. We have a 10-race series specifically for the junior cars. And, you know, you keep your best 7 out of the 10. So, you're allowed a bad weekend or, you know, you can skip one here or there if you need to. But it really builds a lot of camaraderie between the youngsters and the little cars. And it's kind of fun to see them get up and speak and talk about their goals and dreams. And as we know, you know, the juniors have gone on to great success once they graduated from that league, whether it's in the Lucas series, whether it's in bracket mode, or whether it's in the Mel Yellow series. So that's always kind of a highlight, is getting to see the youngsters.
Wow, absolutely. Ultimately, one of the greatest programs ever created in motorsport or NHRA drag racing, certainly a pipeline, not just for kids who want to race, but for families that are part of this culture, that think it's cool. And then it, you know, in many ways lasts a lifetime, as we have seen with so many people. You know, I went, I want to talk PRI, obviously, Performance Racing Industry Trade Show, which is, we talked about SEMA a few weeks ago, and this is more in line with our pure passion. You know, we love cars and all. But running boards and wheels and tires aren't necessarily it, more into the high-performance end of things. But I did want to share a little story about my own bracket racing experience from 2 weeks ago in Palm Beach. They are sanctioned by, the IHRA side of the universe. And I felt like there was not a method for entry level, right? There is the junior dragsters, but when I was younger, I would always remember the guys that would just drive in off the street, right? They would drive in off the street, maybe in a truck, maybe in a dually, maybe in a ramp truck. Ramp trucks were everywhere. And instead, there wasn't really a lot of that. I noticed that. I had a great day. I won first round, lost second round, but it was kind of fun. But I was in a street car, right? And there were not a lot of those. And it just occurred to me that as much as we work hard to get young people in, we should work hard to get regular people in too. They're not kids anymore. They're 30 or 40, but they have a car, and the Detroit manufacturers have invested so much in making these cars that are fun to race. We got to try to get some of them bracket racing. That's something that occurred to me.
I think there are a lot of racetracks that do have that. you know, whether it's a grudge night or whether it's a no time night or whether it's just a, you know, test and tune, come out and race your neighbor night kind of thing. I know that Tucson Dragway, where I live down here, is very active in trying to get the street racers to come out to the racetrack and do it out there, and having plenty of open track time where it literally is just test and tune, where they will be more than happy to walk you through the staging procedure and take you through, you know, exactly what you've got to do to get started. And I think, you know, a lot of local tracks, I think, have a program like that. I don't know that there's necessarily a national program. You know, there is the junior street program for NHRA, so that kids that have, you know, learner's permit or have graduated from the junior ranks can go out in a not real muscle car, but in a full-size street car with mom or dad riding alongside and kind of get their feet wet. But I know a lot of individual tracks that definitely have some kind of a program to reach out to those 20 and 30 somethings and try to get them to come out and try it at the track. And hopefully many do.
Exactly. It can be intimidating. I can imagine that you've never done anything like that. You're going to go out there and you're going to enter a race. And I remember last year or this year, like Lewis went up to Bakersfield and they did a night. That's something I'd like to see more of. I think there are a lot of fans out there. They got a Mustang, a Camaro, a Challenger, a Charger, and they just haven't gone through it. And with a little coaxing and maybe a little guidance, they would be out there part of their weekly bracket program. And who knows, maybe climb the ladder into Super Gas or something bigger. All right, so PRI this weekend. NHRA on Fox is going to be out there. That's going to be kind of cool. This is something where, you know, I remember years ago back in Orlando, right, mowing the lawn when the hall was a little more square and you could just start at the left side and just kind of go left to right and see everything. This is a show that just continues to grow. It is packed, and it is everything racing.
And I'm in. I'm going to be, there for the entire week. I actually fly in Wednesday. I land at 3:30, and my first seminar is at 4 o'clock. So I'm going to be hustling out to the Indianapolis Convention Center to hopefully get there in time for that. If not, I might be a little bit of a late arrival. But I've got a couple of engagements throughout the course of it. And, you know, the thing I like about it most, and we've talked about it for years, is just an opportunity to go say hi to somebody. You know, there are a lot of people that I do business with out of, you know, my fabrication shop in Tucson. And believe me, I'm not Jerry Bickle race cars. Okay. I don't build hundreds of thousands of things, but there are a lot of people that I have contact with via text message, via email, maybe via cell phone. And the only time that I get to see them is at PRI. So that's an important thing to me, because I think that's something that really misses in the world, is an opportunity to take 5 minutes and go talk to a guy and go shake somebody's hand and tell them, you know, hey, thank you for your assistance on this, or hey, I've got a project coming up, maybe I need some guidance on this, and make those personal connections. You know, I've been in this business a long time, and I've been fortunate that I've met a lot of tremendously successful people over the years, and not one single person has ever said to me, gee, I'd be better off if I didn't have so many contacts. And being able to get out there and make the contacts and swap business cards and say hi to somebody is a big thing. And you know, there are a few guys. Dick Maskin, I think, is a perfect example for me. You know, Dick, who founded Dart Machinery, sold the corporation a few years ago, but is still very heavily involved. He and I have always had a very good relationship, personally and professionally. But since he quit racing, whatever it's been, 10, 12 years ago now, about the only time I see him is at PRI. And I make a point to go over and spend a few minutes and say hi and say thanks for, you know, helping me out during the course of the year and you know, what's going on, and just keep that personal relationship alive. That's a real important part of PRI, not just seeing what's new and getting all the breaking news, but the personal relationships are a big thing for me.
Yes, absolutely. And you get everybody all in one spot. It's not quite the holidays, but practically there's a lot of socializing going on both at the show and after hours, all within the context, though, of it's, you know, however many days until we go racing again. Everybody gets ramped up. The winter break, as you have dubbed it, so true. It's not a off season, because there's not even enough of it to be a season, and certainly nobody is off. Everybody is working on their stuff, and you got to get going again, because we got racing right on the other side.
And I think there's going to be some breaking news, you know, during the course of the week. There normally is, whether it's sponsor stuff, whether it's team stuff. You know, I've been hearing rumblings of a few things kind of here and there that I expect to be probably finalized or solidified, or maybe just publicly announced once we get out to Indianapolis at some point. You know, it's a good place to make a splash if you're coming into the 2020 season with something new, whether it's a new sponsor, whether it's new personnel, whether it's whatever. You know, you're going to have the press there, you're going to have the people there, and it's a good opportunity to do an unveiling. We always see a number of those during the course of the show as well. But I'm looking forward to a good week. From everything I see, the weather's supposed to be pretty decent. You know, maybe a little chilly. Of course, you know, I'm a Southern Arizona boy, so you know, anything under 75 is a little chilly for me.
Yes,
but at least I don't believe we're going to be slogging through snow down in downtown Indianapolis. So I'll take it.
Knock on wood, Alan. Don't jinx us, please. Miami, Florida, I'm with you. If it hits, there's a number that starts with a 6, and it's time to break out the light jackets. And I'm sure everybody hates us for that, but it is also true. And hey, in the summer, it gets hot down here. Now, some news. I also have heard that, you know, the timing of a release that all comes out, PRI, I know, you know, Drag Illustrated announces they're 30, under 30. There's a lot of things that go along in a step.
Joe, you didn't make it. You didn't make it again this year.
No, I'm waiting for the 50 under 50. Is what I'm waiting for.
I told Wes a couple of years ago, I said, I hope you do a 75 under 75 while I'm still eligible for that, because that's what I'm pulling for.
No, really,
need a bigger sample size.
No, really, though, what it is age discrimination. And I haven't really brought this up now, but now that you mention it, yes, the world isn't already biased enough towards the young, strong, and good-looking already. How about something for us middle-aged schleps who are struggling along into our final throes before we hit old age? Huh? How about something for us? No, there's nothing. The Middle-Aged Newsmakers Award, something like that. You got to be older than 38 and younger than 60. How about it?
Maybe that's something you could put together.
Yes. You know what? We're now
WFO does their somewhere around 40 group.
I'm on the case. You know what? It's been hatched right here live on the air. Let it be so. Let it be written. WFO is going to sponsor a Middle-Aged Achievers Award.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's only
the
right.
The MAAA, the Middle Age Achievers Award, the MAAA.
And now Reinhardt is like a part of the creative process. Let it be so, let it be written. Middle Age Achievers Award, WFO. Thank you, Alan.
But you could get the Auto Club to sponsor it because, you know, you're borrowing three of their A's.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, obviously they want this age group. You know, that would be a target market for the Auto Club. So we're already on board.
It's obviously a little tongue-in-cheek, but there are some middle-aged people that do some positive work out there in the universe, so why not feature them? Coming to you, PRI 2020, we'll see. Right after, and it will be like one of the side, I believe we're going to host it in near the family restroom on the outside. outside in the weather, but I digress. There is a lot of fun stuff going on. It looks like there's some more cars on the way, maybe for some limited schedules, you know, 10 to 15 races. The news that caught my eye, though, is that Eric Lane, a.k.a. Hop Singh, going to Cruz Pedregon Racing. I knew that he would be scooped up immediately with the wealth of experience he has, but now he and Nick Casertano are kind of over there. That was the original team at Tasca, and it went through some, you know, morphing and changes, etc. And now they're back together for Cruz Pedregon. I'm excited to see what kind of fruit that relationship bears.
Well, you know, you didn't have to be a real true insider to know that Cruz was not overjoyed with his performance last year. And, you know, there's some of that came to light, you know, when he and Sean Langdon got into their little war. I don't want to call it a war of words, but they certainly, you know, had a little exchange about who's going to make the top 10 and who's not. And you know, Cruz said more than once, we'll get there. I know we're not there yet, but we'll get there. And we're talking about a guy who, you know, likes having his hands on the car, but we're also talking about a guy who likes to win. He's got two championships. He knows how to find the winner's circle. And sometimes it's just a matter of finding the right chemistry between all of the guys in the pit area, whether it's, you know, the owner, the driver, the crew chief, whether they're all the same guy or not, but you've got to have the right chemistry going. And I think that's a step in the right direction. You know, Eric, a guy with a lot of experience, worked with a lot of the premier crew chiefs in the sport, got his first opportunity to, you know, put that hat on with Bob Tasca a couple of years ago, and it's continued to be a learning experience. But I think he and Nick will be a good combination, and I think Cruz probably has his best chance of cracking that top 10 countdown and maybe making his way back into the winner's circle in 2020 than he's had in a couple of years.
And he needs to. Let's face it, Cruz is a big personality and a well-known character in the NHRA with a premier-level sponsor with Snap-on and, you know, Nick Pinchuk, who comes out. He's a guy who goes on Mad Money with Kramer, and he's a well-known CEO. They support NHRA and what they call, you know, the doers and the makers and the fixers of the world. Cruz is flying the flag for them and needs to win some races. And so hiring the right people, building a team, is the right thing. He's got to do it. That's the move. He has to do it. Pressure's on.
I agree. We'll have to wait and see how long it takes to pay dividends, but I definitely think that I think it's a plus for everybody involved.
And let me get your opinion on, since we mentioned Eric Lane, who has worked under the umbrella of Austin Coyle, right, back in the day with John Force Racing, et cetera, and so on. We got to sit at the table with Austin as he was honored as the NHRA Lifetime Achievement Award. And that was a fantastic experience to me. Here I am sitting next to Austin Coyle and just watching, you know, the entire, speaking of coming by and paying tribute, right? Like you were just talking about, the entire place, like in a procession, coming by to shake his hand, to share a moment. And that was just incredible. We didn't speak last week, so I'd like to, you know, get your take now, you know, just Austin Coyle's contribution to the sport of drag racing, his speech. I encourage everybody, go on NHRA.com and watch it. But I just thought it was very moving. It was very good. He's obviously still very well connected. We know that from watching NHRA.tv, since he's like texting you at rapid fire during your calls, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't take long. If I say something wrong, it doesn't take long for me to get a message from him. It really kind of makes my day when I'll get something from him that says, you know, hey, nice call today, or you nailed that one, because he and I have known each other. You know, I certainly don't go back in the sport as long as he does, but when I was kind of the new kid on the block, he and I got together and just kind of clicked. We've always had a good relationship, and Austin's always been very open with me. I think one of my favorite Austin Coyle stories was, I was coming by to see him, ask him a question one time. And I walked into the pit, and they basically got the race car covered with blankets. And all the guys were like, whoa, stop, nope, back up, go around, can't come in. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I mean, whatever you guys are doing, that's fine. I said, but where's Coyle? And they said, you know, he's in the tech trailer. So I said, okay, well, I'll go around and come in the other side. You know, I certainly respect everybody's secrets. And so I walked around the other side, and I walked into the trailer, and I said, hey, Austin, I got a question for you. He goes, yeah, first, come here, I got to show you this. And took me outside and picked the blankets up and said, what do you think of my new manifold? And it was the first setback manifold that I had ever seen, you know, when they started moving the blowers back. And it was just one of the ideas that he had come up with. You know, everybody had been trying to redirect the air and trying to smooth out the airflow in the manifold. And he goes, to my knowledge, the first one that actually went and had a manifold cast, and it was cast. It wasn't forged. It wasn't billet to move the blower back. And they were basically trying to keep the thing under wraps. You know, in a funny car, it's not quite as obvious that the blower's sitting way back when the body's down. So they were trying to keep the thing under wraps until they got it out on the racetrack. But he literally drugged me over and said, you know, hey, my new thing, what do you think? And we've always had just a very open, very honest relationship. So some of the things that he did, and I think he was a classic case of a guy who came along at just the right time. He and Dale Armstrong were really close. And, you know, you go back into the 70s, into maybe even the early 80s, when Dale Armstrong had a budget to work with and Austin Coyle didn't. And there were a number of projects that the two would collaborate on. You know, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? Dale would convince Kenny Bernstein that, hey, this is something we need to try. And if it worked, then Austin would get, you know, a little bit of help from that. When they were both racing funny cars, they certainly weren't, if Kenny was spending the money, it wasn't going straight across the fence. But once Kenny moved on into the Top Fuel ranks, then that opened up a little bit more of the exchange that, you know, hey, we're the only ones going to have this in Top Fuel. You're the only ones going to have it in funny car. But some of the things that they came up with, just, I think one of the things in his speech that really struck me was when he talked about once they got up and running at Forces with the CNC shop and all the machines that were running and making all the parts, and he talked about the number of parts that never left the building because it was just an idea we had to try. So we'd make a bunch of parts and go, okay, that ain't going to work. Throw it all in the scrap heap and start over again. But he was the right guy at the right time in an era where, you know, you could use your imagination and the sport was open for experimentation and for new parts and new things. And he certainly had a lot of crazy ideas, many of whom worked.
Amazing, amazing stuff. For me, you know, growing up in that, you know, 80s, 90s era of Austin Coyle dominance, it was just great to, you know, pick my seat and sit there. And next thing you know, here's Austin Coyle sitting down. It's like, yeah, this is great. And, you know, as much as I get paid to talk for a living, I know when the time to shut up comes around, and this was it. just listen. And it was amazing to watch, you know, the respect. But then I go to introduce myself to him because we had never formally met, right? I think it's about, hello, you don't know me, my name is Joe. And he watches NHRA.TV, was very kind about it. But I've got something for you. I've got something for you. So, you know, inevitably things normaled out and we just kind of start talking about various things. And this is what he said to me regarding Alan Reinhart, in case you're wondering the subject matter. Talking about, you know, I know you text Alan, you guys, you listen to NHRA.TV every week. And he said this, you know, Alan is really sharp with these cars and has put in a lot of work. And if I'm paraphrasing, but coming as close to an exact quote as is possible. He's put in a lot of work to understand what's going on in these cars. Like, oh, yes, no, I know, with the Nitro School program and everything he does, he knows a lot, and it's very interesting to listen. He goes, I got to say, if he ever had the opportunity to tune one of these cars, I think he could do a pretty darn good job, period. And I thought, Austin Coyle just said that Alan Reinhart could tune a Nitro car? Wow, that's pretty strong validation right there. So I just wanted to, I had not told you that story. I wanted to share that story with you that, you know, the only thing is I was the only one listening. It would have been better if there were others around to validate. But how about that, Alan? Austin Coyle is hiring you.
Well, I don't believe Austin Coyle would need to hire me if he wanted to come back and tune a car, but that's very flattering to hear. And I'm grateful that you shared it. I'm not sure that I feel that I have that level of knowledge quite yet. I'm pretty sure I could get one to start and move, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to go out and mix it up with the guys who are out there winning races on a regular basis. I would welcome the opportunity to get a little closer sometime, and that's one of the reasons that I go to, you know, so many of the Monday test and tunes, and I go to the preseason testing, is because it gives me an opportunity to be closer and not necessarily get hands-on, but instead of just sitting up in the tower and talking about what I saw, to be down there and actually be a little closer to it and, you know, go straight back to the trailer and talk to somebody when they're going, hey, we're trying something with the clutch, you know. And again, oftentimes they will show me and explain to me exactly what's going on. I think pretty much everybody out there understands that if they tell me, hey, this is off the record or this is not for public knowledge, then I'm not going to come on WFO and go, okay, everybody, the new clutch works like this. But I think that the more I know, the better I can do my job of explaining to the fans what they're seeing, even if I don't go into great detail. And I think pretty much everybody in the pits respects that, you know, they understand what I'm trying to learn, why I'm trying to learn it, and what I'm going to do with the knowledge, and they're pretty open to share with me. But that's very flattering that Austin would say that about me.
Absolutely. Well, and that's why I wanted to share it with you, because, you know, conversations just go in different directions, and I was, you know, I was thrilled that he knew who I was, frankly. And speaking with John after it was all over, you know, seeing Austin energized by the moment, a really great and special thing. So, you know, he tells me it's me and him. I'm going to tell you. Because you should know that. That is good. And everyone should know that because you're out there calling the stuff. Austin Coyle thinks you could tune a Nitro car. But now, as is the case with everything, right? I got to see you tune a Nitro car. That's it. We got to find a circumstance where you could put your hands on one of these things and turn like what is theoretical into what is reality. That can happen somewhere, I think.
All right. Well, you get yourself a car.
Yeah.
And you can hire me to tune it.
There you go.
And you're gonna need somebody to drive it unless you want to do it. If you want to drive it, then I'm fine with that. You can be the owner and driver, and I'll tune it.
How hard could it be? You're just going straight. Let's just let's figure it out. Hey, we would get a lot of publicity. Let me tell you, this this combination would get a lot of publicity. The two talkers trying to actually do, I don't know. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. And I thought it was interesting, and I thought it was cool, and it was great having Austin at the banquet. Anything else stick out from the awards ceremony, incidentally, that you thought was fun and interesting? I know, you know, we all got to be a part of it, but before we put that part of the world to bed and that conversation to bed, I know that I enjoyed it. Everybody seemed to be having a good time. I loved how Steve just went straight at his issue and laid it all on the table. We had an interview with Steve like right afterwards, and maybe I'm regretting a little too soon. So many people just unwilling to hear his voice at all, which I think is ridiculous, but whatever. Everyone is entitled to their own emotions and opinion about a subject, but I thought the whole thing went off pretty well.
I agree. I think that, I think Steve's speech was very heartfelt. And, you know, I think everybody has been in a position where you make a mistake, whatever the mistake is. And at some point you go, you know what, I got to be the one to step up. And you know, for some, you know, it might go all the way back to, you know, when you were stealing candy from the store and mom said, you're going to march back in there and you're going to take that candy back and you're going to explain to the manager what you did. And understanding that, you know, yes, I made a bad decision in whatever this moment was, and I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to own it, and I'm going to move on and hopefully be better because of it. And that's what I got from Steve, especially when he was talking about the junior dragsters. And, you know, you've spent enough time down in Division Four. You see Capco on the side of a lot of those little cars. And he said point blank, a lot of those kids look up to me, and I'm not being a very good example. I need to get better at this. I don't want these kids to think that it's okay. And I thought that was a very heartfelt part of his speech. I also really love the fact that everybody said something about Gianna. The day that she had, you know, one of those just you couldn't write this down days. I thought that was pretty cool that she got to get a little bit of the spotlight, even though she didn't finish in the top 10, didn't, you know, have her spot on stage, but she got a lot of acknowledgement for her accomplishments the last day of the season. And I also, I'm sorry if I sound like I'm beating on my chest here, but I was pretty proud that I had an opportunity to stand up there and tell Greg and Erica both face to face, you need to keep this rivalry going. You've got people paying attention to pro stock. That's good for pro stock. And the last thing those guys need to do is, you know, kiss and make up, so to speak. It needs to mean something to the fans. They've got a tremendous platform right now, and I hope that they can keep it going. And time obviously will tell. But overall, I thought it was a great evening. And then everybody catches their breath, heads home, and starts working on the Winter Nationals.
So true. Yes, it is. It was a great experience, and I agree. Like, I feel energy around pro stock in a way that I haven't in a long time. There's rumors. Speaking of, you know, PRI storylines that may bear fruit, like more pro stock cars coming, more personalities being involved. The class is definitely a different thing now than it was maybe 20 years ago. Now it is, get yourself a good engine plan from one of the many. Get yourself a chassis that you feel is competitive. There's a bunch of them out there, and a group of guys that supposedly know what they're doing, and a driver that supposedly knows what he's doing, and go get in the mix and try to figure it out and see or if you can compete or not. And to me, that's intriguing because there's a lot of comp racers, and top sportsman racers. Maybe, you know, who knows what will who will be drawn into that, but It's different now than it was with, countless hours of R&D and secrecy and, you know, building 10 manifolds to find one that works. That's a different pro stock from a different era. I'm liking what we're seeing. It's more about the driving. It's more about the tuning and, figuring it out in the given conditions. And what we saw, you know, we keep bringing up Matt Hartford over and over again. There's got to be, hopefully, you know, four or five more Matt Hartford-style teams out there. Group of guys that got the passion, the drive, the determination, that want to compete at the highest level, that can put together a program. They're already spending money somewhere doing something. Why not do this? I think we're going to get more of that.
I hope you're right. And, you know, the time has never been better than it is now where competitive horsepower is available. And even, you know, 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. You know, it started changing 6 or 7 years ago, but the last five, it's really come to fruition that it's been proven over and over again. Competitive horsepower is available. And if you've got the wherewithal to set up a car and make the rest of it work, then, you know, as Jason Lyon told Derek Kramer and his guys when they first put together their deal, he said in horsepower, 90% in pro stock, 90% of the equation is horsepower. And I'm taking care of that. Your job is to not screw up your 10%. And we've seen, you know, what Derek's done over the course of the last couple of years. Two wins last year in a very competitive race car. So there, you know, there you have it. You take, like, Erica is another great example. You know, they did not have a, you know, burning down the world kind of tour, but they got hot at the right time. They definitely were working on their performance during the year. When it came countdown time and crunch time, she did a spectacular job, and her car was pretty darn good also. You know, two race wins on the year and a championship, but that shows that it is possible. And, you know, you look at all of the different finalists and all the different number one qualifiers, and as I said, competitive horsepower is available to anybody out there right now. So for anybody that ever said, man, I'd really like to just stick my toe in the water over there, but there was a time when you would spend premium money to be able to rent horsepower that was, you know, 10, 12, 14 qualifier maybe, but never horsepower that was competitive enough to really run with the top dogs in the class. And today that horsepower is available to you. So if somebody wanted to try it, there's never been a better time.
Absolutely. Any final thoughts, any subjects you want to bring up before we head out and jump on a plane to PRI to reconnect with everybody one more time before the holidays? Anything that stuck out from the season? You know, we are in the process of interviewing champions. You know, we had Steve, we had Robert, we had Allie Dahl. What a great story. Stock Eliminator World Champ last week. That's all in the archive. This week, it's going to be Megan Meyer. It's going to be Andrew Hines. And, you know, we're going to have champions right through the winter break, the holiday break, and afterwards. You know, anything that's sticking out in your mind that you'd like to throw out there for the WFO universe?
No, nothing in particular. I think you've covered most of it. I think, you know, the fact that we had three female champions this year, two of them in the Lucas Series, and obviously Erica picking up her championship in pro stock for the third time. And, you know, we continue to beat the drum that in whatever form of racing you've got, if you want to tell me that you have females that are competitive or females that run up front or females that lead laps or females that qualify on the pole, come to NHRA. We have females that are holding the trophy at the end of the day on a regular basis. And that includes championship trophies all the way from stock to pro stock. And that's something I think that we're going to continue to see.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Alan, great job. And makes the sport. We are the total meritocracy that everybody strives for. We are already there and have been there. Like, nothing matters other than, can you race? Can you drive? Can you succeed? Can you stand up to the pressure in the moment? Nothing else matters in drag racing. And that's great.
I just really think that, you know, if you picture Allison and Megan are two perfect examples. You know, Allie, who's an engineer, who is very highly educated, who works in the family business. Megan, who also has a college degree and has been around racing, you know, since junior days and has been very competitive in the alcohol dragster categories the last couple of years. If you took those two to the mall, there's no way anybody would go, yeah, that's a world champion race car driver, because they are, you know, I mean, ladies in every sense of the word. And they put helmets on and turn into monsters. But I think it's great that at NHRA, you know, we don't just talk about, you know, we've got some that are here competing. We have some that are here winning at the highest level. And, you know, that's just amazing to me that if you see that, I'm telling you, when I saw Megan come into the Lucas, it really took me a minute to realize, oh yeah, that's Megan, because I always see her in team shirts. I always see her in race attire. I always see her when, you know, she's got dirty fingernails and she's working on the car and she is not afraid to get out there and make it happen. And then you realize that when she gets away from her race car, she is a 20-something attractive young woman who is engaged to be married and who has got the whole just regular 20-something female life going on when she's not racing the car. And I think that's pretty spectacular.
So true. Alan, great job. Thank you so much. I will see you up there in Indianapolis for the PRI 2019 trade show. It will be fun, I have no doubt. And thank you so much for coming on WFO.
Joe, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next week. And if anybody's going to PRI, Joe and I will be easy to spot. We'll be the two guys that are probably the most bundled up of everybody that's there.
No doubt. I got my toque. I am ready. I am ready. Alan, thank you.
All right, Joe. We'll see you soon.
There he goes, the voice of the NHRA. Alan Reinhart joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. Headed to PRI. I'm headed to PRI. You're going to be at PRI. It's going to be great. It is. It's so much fun because you get to see everybody you've ever met in the motorsports or racing field. And you don't even remember, like, oh my gosh, yes, we had a relationship a couple of years ago and when I worked somewhere else and we're great friends and I hadn't seen you and I hadn't thought about you. But how about that? And I am looking forward to it. And hopefully you're all looking forward to it. You will listen to WFO Radio. We are going to hear from Megan Meyer. We're going to hear from Andrew Hines and maybe some others. In the coming weeks, Sean Bellemere, Ray Miller III, Erica Enders, all going to be a part of it. I can't wait for the Erica interview, frankly. Cannot wait for the Erica interview because it is going to be fantastic. So you're going to want to click subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please write us a review if you deem us worthy. Also, patreon.com/WFO radio for people who want bonus content and actually connect with the show at an extremely higher level. Thank you to all those people. I'm so surprised that they even exist, but they do. Thank you to those people as well. And our great sponsors, Total Seal Piston Rings, samtech.edu, Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure in particular, and MagicDryUS.com, plus EV3 Drag Racing and Drag Racing Edge Magazine. I'm headed to PRI. You hopefully will check out the archive. New content coming right on through. You're going to hear from Megan Meyer. You're going to hear from Andrew Hines. It's all coming up on WFO.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Your education. What are you going to do with your life? That is what it's all about. And samtech.edu can help you figure it all out. The School of Automotive Machinists and Technology always says start your education at full speed because they will get you in, get you started, get you learning rapidly. The school is located in the Houston, Texas area. They've got a great campus. They're always expanding. But most importantly, their relationships within the performance industry is what sets them apart. We're talking about block programs, head programs, CNC programs, motorsport EFI tuning, all part of Samtech. They can even help persons that are eligible under the GI Bill. Go to the website, samtech.edu, or call 713-683-3817. Would you rather do something you love as your job? I know I would. Samtech.edu. We're talking gourmet coffee. We're talking hot sauces. We're talking spice rubs. We're talking everything good at Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s, figured out that life is better with great coffee. And oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit him up, Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.